Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So Jesus is talking about the end of the world, and he's talking about the end of the Jewish nation as they understood it. A generation, Jesus says, before this generation is over, a generation was 40 years. He was making that speech around the year 30, and in the year 70, the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem was destroyed, the nation of Israel as it had been was destroyed, and there was in one sense an end of, not the end of the whole world, but the end of the world as they knew it. And then the reality is that each one of us goes through that same process. Whether we're alive when the end comes and it's the end of the world, or whether we just live out our 70 or 80 years and the end comes to us, our Lord is telling us that we have to be prepared. We should spend our lives prepared for the coming of the end. And so as we approach the end of the church year, as the days shorten and the darkness encroaches on us here in the northern hemisphere anyway, the church turns our attention to the end of life, the end of the world. Now, some people might say it's morbid, Father Mike. Don't talk about death. And for sure, we shouldn't talk about death with any kind of relish. But at the same time, we have to recognize the shortness of life and the reality of death. Many people, in fact, who have had a near-death experience, like they've had a serious heart attack or a cancer or a car accident or some other serious diagnosis, you know, life becomes sweeter to them when they see the shortness of life or when they escape from the reality of death. And so to think about death and to think about the shortness of life should give us a little push, a little momentum, a little seriousness about life. Now, it is not always easy to keep the reality of death before us. You know, St. Francis, good old St. Francis who loved the trees and the animals and all the other things, St. Francis, he used to keep, believe it or not, he used to keep a skull in his hermitage, and he would look at it so that he would be reminded of death, of the shortness of death. C.S. Lewis, the shortness of life. C.S. Lewis, who's a very famous author, C.S. Lewis would look at his hand, and he would see his hand, and you can see the bones in your hand pretty much, and he would say, you know, he would stare at it, and he would think, this will soon be a skeleton. You know, and that was his thought. That's what he would think about. And again, not to be too dreary or too down, but every time I say my night prayers, the night prayer of the church as I go to bed, the last line, if you will, is, may the all-powerful Lord grant me a restful night and a peaceful death. That is like the closing prayer of the day. And so each of us, just as the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, each of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as the temple in Jerusalem gave up the ghost, so to speak, so we will as well. Quoting a little passage from the Bible, our days are like grass. The flower of the field will blossom. And then the wind sweeps over us and we are gone and our place knows us no more. So we know the end is coming, right? We see the days getting shorter. But at the same time, we got to rise and shine, don't we? We got to get up and go. We got to keep living life. We got to work. We got to play. We got to eat. We got to worship. Yes, worship. We all worship something. And you know, you are all here to worship God tonight, and I welcome you here, and I'm glad that you're here to worship God. But there are some people who claim that they do not worship anything, but we all worship something. In the same way that we're all on a path somewhere. We're all going somewhere. We're all traveling on a way. And the question is, what do we worship? What are we focused on? What do we look to for our security, for our peace, for our future? What way are we traveling? Jesus says, what? I am the way. And so we have to recognize this reality that whether we're going in the right direction or the wrong direction, we're all going somewhere. And so we have to get up and engage life, knowing that life is not forever. And we're engaged in a battle. You ever think about the spiritual battle? I try to remind us from time to time of the spiritual battle. And there was a guy named, this is your trivia for tonight, Sun Tzu. You ever heard of Sun Tzu? Sun Tzu was perhaps the most famous, well-known military philosopher of all times. If you ever read any military strategy books, which I had to do a little bit of in college because I was in ROTC, Sun Tzu, a Chinese philosopher, wrote a book called The Art of War. And he said, quote, "The art of war is of vital importance. It is a matter of life and death. It is a road to safety or to ruin. Therefore, it is a subject of study which can on no account be neglected." So Sun Tzu was encouraging every nation, every general to study the art of war because battles were sure to come. And Sun Tzu was speaking about battles and conflicts between nations and people. And you think about our nation right now, how much time and energy and money is put into preparing for battles. Think about building ships and tanks and fighter jets and training men and women to operate, support, and maintain them. Is it millions of dollars? Is it billions of dollars? Trillions. It's just an incredible investment. But what about our spiritual battle? What about our very own individual, personal, spiritual battle that's not theoretical, that not might or might not come, but it is part of every life? If we can't neglect to study the art of war, of military war, even more so, we cannot neglect the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in this short life that we live. Every week, as I have said before and I will say again, every week here we pray the St. Michael prayer. St. Michael, defend us in battle for two reasons. One, to ask for the help of the angels and saints. And two, the simple reminder of the fact that you are in a spiritual battle. Do not lose sight of that. Do not lose sight of the fact that you are in a spiritual battle. So many young men, actually, it is written into the fabric of a man and a woman to some degree that we know there's a battle to fight. And the most important battle that we have to fight is the battle for our soul, the battle for truth, the battle to be virtuous and holy and good. And so many people are so blind and deaf and already bound and lost, they don't even see the fight. Sun Tzu, back to him for a moment. One of his most famous quotes, he said in The Art of War, "If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will fail in every battle." So we must know ourselves, we must know our enemy, and we must engage in that battle, that spiritual battle that we are in. So ourselves, we have to recognize our weaknesses, our need for grace and God's mercy, our own ignorance and the necessity of being trained in the truth. We must know our enemy, Satan, a liar and a murderer, who is ruthless and hateful, and he is on the prowl and the attack constantly, but he wants to be hidden. He doesn't want to be known or acknowledged. He would just as soon us not believe in the devil or hell or anything. So that is our enemy. So know ourselves and know our enemy and be engaged in the spiritual battle. You know, Michael was mentioned in the first reading tonight. Did you hear that? Michael, the great protector of the people, and we want to be under his protection. We want to be on God's side because we heard Jesus talk about the angels are going to go out and he's going to collect everybody on God's team, basically, and take them in. Now, this is spiritual battle, the theme kind of my homily today, brings me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, a letter that St. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. So the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, he uses this very strong military metaphor. He says, "Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers." What are principalities and powers? They're ranks of demons. You know that just as the angels are ranked in choirs, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you've got the angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim and all of that. So the demons are ranked, and they're ranks of demons. And two of the ranks are principalities and powers. So Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people. It is principalities and powers. And with world rulers of this present darkness, with evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, Paul says, put on the armor of God. Men, women, know that you are in a battle for your soul. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist the evil day. And then he says, take faith as a shield and the word of God as a sword. And with prayer and supplication. So we must know ourselves, right? Our weaknesses, our ignorance, our tendencies. And we must know our enemy. And we must know that we are in a battle. And the life is short. And the end will come. Just as the pecan tree starts dropping pecans, you know, a month or two ago, just as the days get short and then the days get long again, so the season of our life will come and go. The last point I want to make tonight is very concrete, very practical, and maybe a little bit disturbing too, frankly. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, her date, she was born 1774. She died in 1821, long before electricity and television and all of the other things. This was in the olden days, so to speak. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton lived. She had a vision. She had a vision of the future. And I'm quoting, "The day would come. Every American would have a black box in their home through which the devil would enter." She did not understand that vision. I think we do. And it's not just in our home. We can carry it in our pocket. We can't get away from it, you know? And it spews lies all the time, okay? And it has all kinds of errors and problems. And we have to know ourselves, right? And we have to know our enemy. And we have to know that we are in a spiritual battle. And that life is short, you know? And just as the seasons change, just as the fig tree blossoms, so we have to be ready for the end. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, we prepare. We prepare for the end, and we live our lives aware of the spiritual battle, and we seek to grow in knowledge and truth and wisdom and understanding, and to use our sword and to use our shield in the battle for our souls.